COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Symptoms of this respiratory disease include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. These symptoms may show up 2 to 14 days after exposure. If you're experiencing these symptoms and have come in contact with or in an area with an ongoing outbreak, please call a hotline and/or consult a physician. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces. For more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the I Am Cannabis Sativa podcast. I'm your host, Dan Scotland. If you are currently a medical marijuana patient and want to tell your story and be featured on the podcast, feel free to email me at iamcannabissativa@gmail.com. Feel free to hit us up on Instagram at iamcannabissativa. You can also find me on Twitter at icsativapod. You can find and subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor FM, Overcast, Radio Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play Music Store, and more. Please rate and review us on iTunes, as rating and reviewing us will bump up the pod on their algorithm and put this podcast in front of even more eyeballs. If you like what we are doing, please become a Patreon supporter of the podcast and support us. Supporting us helps us to keep the lights on, pay rent, pay for hosting, equipment, and travel. And you can do this by going to https://anchor.fm/IAMCannabisSativaPodcast/support. You can also support me now on Patreon at www.patreon.com/ICSativaPodcast. You can support this podcast for as little as $1 a month. We also have a $5 tier if you're feeling extra generous. A special thanks to our current patrons and supporters. Shout out to friends of the show Reefer Revolution for supporting the podcast. Shout out to our new Patreon and friend of the show, Gracie Gatto. Shout out also to Joy One Love 420, also a friend of the show and founder of Keystone State Reviews. Becoming a Patreon or financially supporting us through Anchor, Patreon, PayPal gets you perks like early episodes, exclusives, and shout outs at the beginning of every episode. We also have been recently syndicated by friend of the show, Russ Belfill, and will now be featured weekly on Radical Russ Radio right before his show from Monday 7 a.m., Tuesday 9 a.m., Wednesday 11 a.m., Thursday 1 p.m., and Friday 3 p.m., all Mountain times. And without further ado, let's get to the episode.
Howdy, folks. Dan Scotland here, joining you from Legal Grass, Massachusetts, the heartland of America. I can be found anywhere you find podcasts, such as iTunes, CastBox, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, or other platforms like it. You can find me on Instagram at _IAMCannabisSativa and on Twitter at ICSativaPod. All right, so this was brought to my attention. When we did our video earlier about North Carolina and them potentially getting medical marijuana done this year, I don't want it to be construed as me thinking that SB 711 is the end all be all bill. The problem is with the political reality that North Carolina has, and I just double checked things. Democrats in both chambers have under 45% of the seats in either chamber. So you're going to have Republican buy-in to get this over the finish line. And as we've seen in a lot of scenarios where even when you have a Democratic governor, as we saw with Louisiana, as we've seen with Pennsylvania, as we've seen with what other state? So yeah, I mean, those states that I just named, you have a Democratic governor, but also West Virginia as well too. But their case is a bit different, but I'll explain a bit later. But when you have a Republican supermajority legislature, most conservatives in power, they hate the plant and they hate the people that use the plant. So if you don't make something that's that gets them buy-in, they're not going to allow it to go through. So yeah, I mean, from the stuff that my listeners were telling me, from the stuff I've been hearing, there's a lot of tyranny in SB 711. There is. It's not good in that it's going to favor the people that love the plant and the people that like the people that use the plant. Again, most of your politicians of both parties, especially the Republican Party, they hate the plant, they hate the people that use the plant. There was another article circulating that I heard not too long ago, where they were one of the journalists was interviewing Republicans from states that have legalized or states that have strong medical programs, and they're not moving an inch on the plant and the people that use the plant. They're still against it. Montana elected Senator Steve Daines to the Senate, and he's a Republican. His state legalized, and legalization got 57% of the vote. He's still against making it legal. And you ask the South Dakota senators, both Republicans, they were asked whether they're going to back the will of their voters, and they told their voters to kick rocks. We're still against it. It still needs research. It's still a party drug. It's still a deadhead drug. We have to be worried about the message we're sending to children. Yada yada yada. We have to trust the medicines that are already there. We don't want to introduce another gateway drug, yada, yada, yada. Despite their voters being for it, they're not moving an inch. And again, I mean, this is a lot of the legislatures throughout the country. No matter how high the numbers are for medical or adult use, Republican politicians continue being against it. They continue voting against it, and they continue opposing it. The only Republican governor that legalized was in New England, Governor Phil Scott. And again, that's because he had Democrats in the legislature that made him do it. But again, that was like the only one. That's the only example you can point to. In every other state, they hold back progress with legalization, or they're against legalizing, or they're against making reforms unless they really have to make reforms. And it's just going to be the way the cookie crumbles. You're going to need buy-in from conservatives. And in states where there's still conservative majorities in the legislature, they're not going to push through something that favors the users of the plant and the people that love the plant. You're not going to get that from conservatives right now. That may change at some point, but at this juncture in time, that's not the case. Just because North Carolina is poised to get this sort of restrictive bill doesn't mean that things can't still get better. So we'll go into that in due time. So let's read this. So they're getting the medical reforms through the legislature. It would be great if SB 711 wasn't the most restrictive medical marijuana bill in the country. Okay, so 73% of people want it legal in the state. And then people who believe the bill will actually help, 5%, because it's constructed by people that hate the plant, people that hate the people that use the plant. So the bill only covers a handful of qualifying conditions. So again, you have these authoritarian Republicans that want to get between a doctor-patient relationship, and they don't want you having too much fun. Again, these fossils see this as a way for people that just want to smoke and party all the time to get it under the guise of medicine. So we can't have people having too much fun, and we have to make this law restrictive for their own good. We can't have them having too much fun, don't you know? So again, a very, very limited sick list, and a very, very tyrannical sick list. Again, these programs, when they're constructed, should not have a list, in my opinion. It should be whatever a doctor or nurse, whatever she sees fit, and if they see that you're going to benefit, that's all that needs to matter. It should just be one line. for a qualifying condition list, any condition that a doctor sees fit that would benefit from medical cannabis. That should be the only line that's there. They shouldn't, these lawmakers should not be playing doctor. They should not be undermining the sanctity of the doctor-patient relationship. And, you know, it's not within their rights to do that, and it's not within their rights to regulate doctors and what doctors and patients do. But the party of personal responsibility loves to, they love to determine what the doctor-patient relationship is between two adults. They love doing this. So, going to be a limited amount of a list or a limited amount of conditions. Only 10 suppliers and can have four centers. So 40 dispensaries for 10 million flipping people. 40 for 10 million people. That's not enough. You don't even need to type that into Google to know that's not enough. On a gut level, you should know that that is not enough. Okay, so it's only going to go to these MSO dispensaries. So limited sick lists, MSO dispensaries. So you're going to have multi-state organizations in this sort of oligarchy sort of based medical program, because there's only 40 stores and you can't grow your own. You can't go through a caregiver. You can't, you can't grow your own. You can't get, whole flower, I would imagine. And because these dispensaries are the only places you can go, they can charge you $400 per ounce, or if they don't allow whole flower, they can charge you $110 per vape cart, and you have nowhere else to go because there's only 40 stores and they're the only game in town. They can charge you $110 for a vape cart, and you have to go to the state sanctioned monopoly. All right. So getting a license and keeping one is going to be very high. So again, only the MSOs will have a chance if you're going to charge that much for people. Let me read this line. So dispensaries would have to pay $50,000 or more to get a license and $10,000 or more every year to keep it. The 10 suppliers, and they can only have four centers. It's not going to go to drug war victims that were busted for the plan. It's going to go to these MSOs, these multi-million MSOs. You'll bet your butt that they'll probably institute vertical integration. I've ranted about vertical integration many times in this podcast, and I'll enclose that a link to that episode in the show notes too. So yeah, it still needs to clear some committees. And again, I'm gonna put a copy of this sort of image collage on the show notes if you're not watching the video of this. So what NC Normal believes needs to change: coverage of more conditions and patients. More licenses, lower the barrier of entry, equity for communities harmed by the war on drugs, decriminalization of cannabis, prioritize current NC hemp farmers and CBD dispensaries. That's pretty big too, because again, North Carolina, they make a lot of hemp. You know, North Carolina, Tennessee, states like that, they make a lot. They're very, very active in the hemp game. So allowing those people to get a crack at medical, That should be a no-brainer. You would give a lot of farmers jobs. You'd give a lot of the people that are already contributing to the economy first crack, instead of these out-of-state Walmart of weed corporations being the only ones that have the money and the ability to set up shop. So again, I'll put this sort of image collage link in the show notes as well too. All right. So. I want to point at some examples of their program, or of how a lot of other people were able to get leeway. West Virginia, they legalized medical a couple years ago, and their law was very restrictive too. Medical cannabis was legalized a couple years ago there. They only really allow pills, tinctures, oils, patches, topicals, that sort of stuff. But now, as of 2020/2021, enough people wrote to their people in West Virginia. Enough people said that having a program without whole flour or edibles, that's not going to be a tenable program for the average Jane or average Joe. And now the lawmakers have approved that. So now they're going to have a more traditional program. Like, again, SB 711, which we mentioned in the collage, is going to have a restrictive amount of licenses. There's going to be very few lists that qualify for medical. There's going to be a lot of unfavorable things in this bill. So again, getting your license and renewing your license, that's going to be very expensive. Again, only dispensary owners will be allowed to sell and grow their own hemp. So these MSOs, these out-of-state MSOs, are going to be the only game in town, instead of the farmers that are already growing hemp and Delta 8. They're already growing hemp that they're turning into Delta 8 or other CBD or other cannabinoid products. They're already doing that. You already have a very, very strong hemp industry in that part of the country. Why not give them first crack instead of these MSOs? But that's not how they're operating, sadly. But again, you could start off with a junk program like West Virginia did. Enough people write to the lawmakers, or enough people say that we don't want a program like this, or we want a program to be a lot better before we get our cards in this program. And people wrote to their lawmakers. People kept saying, we want whole flour, we want edibles. West Virginia, they're going to get edibles and they're going to get whole flour. There's one more other thing I want to get. So Louisiana, again, another situation where you have a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature. When they first started their bill, there wasn't going to be any whole flour at all. It was just going to be pills, tinctures, cannabis inhalers, topicals, pills, you know, all just sort of process forms. But just last year, the patients and the people were able to get it. So instead of it being a limited amount of conditions that qualify for medical, enough people wrote to their lawmakers. And now, and since last year, it can be recommended for anything a doctor sees fit. And this year, the governor JBE signed a bill that would allow for smokable marijuana in Louisiana. So enough people wrote to their lawmakers, and now they're going to have smokable whole flower. That was not in the initial bill. The initial bill didn't allow for it because, again, you had a governor, from what I remember, that's a Democrat, and then you have a Republican legislature that is full of people that don't like the plant and they don't like the people that use the plant. So it started off very restrictive, but people wrote to their people. They wrote to the lawmakers. They said that this is not going to be acceptable, and sure enough, things changed. And there is one more thing I want to talk about before ending off the episode. So again, I'm not going to read this article, but I think I've mentioned this in previous episodes. So you have to have in states that are politically divided or are more conservative leaning, you're going to have buy-in from Republicans. You're going to have some Republicans that don't hate the plant and don't hate the people that use the plant to allow a lot of these bills to be pushed through and to allow a lot of these reforms to get to a governor's desk. You're going to have buy-in from both parties. The reason Louisiana was able to get a lot of these sort of victories is because they had a Republican in the corner of the patients that was flipped on the issue and then used his political capital on the issue. You're going to need to have conservative buy-in. So you had one lawmaker, I believe we talked about this in previous episodes, where he had a lot of people in his district writing about how medical marijuana was helping them. They were he was getting a lot of letters from his constituents that were suffering from the opioid crisis. And again, this Republican lawmaker that was against the
the initial Louisiana bill, which legalized medical marijuana, he voted against it and he was against it. But then he had all these people write to him after the program went into effect, and he became a sympathetic ear that started allowing a lot of the reform to get pushed through. So again, I'm gonna put this article in the show notes. But if you're looking at the video version of it, I'm highlighting some of the things that sort of happened there. But again, you're going to need buy-in from both parties to get reform. But again, I mean, I don't want to keep this episode too long. As always, I can be found anywhere you find podcasts, such as iTunes, CastBox, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and other platforms like it. You can find me on Instagram at _IamCannabisSativa, and then on Twitter at ICSativaPod. And as always, everyone, stay medicated, my friends. Peace out and ciao.
If you find yourself coming around often to my podcast and want to support our humble little project, there are quite a few ways you could do so. Supporting us helps us keep the lights on, pay rent, pay for hosting, equipment, and travel. You could do this by going to https://anchor.fm/IamCannabisSativaPodcast/support. You can also support me now on Patreon at www.patreon.com/ICSativaPodcast. You can support the podcast for as little as $1 a month. We also have a $5 and above tier if you are feeling extra generous. Additionally, if you wish to get in contact with us, you can leave a voice message on Anchor, and you can do this by going to https://anchor.fm/IamCannabisSativaPodcast and click the send voice message button, and I may just play it on a future episode. You can also call and leave a voice message at 617-466-9389, and I may just play it on a future episode. Feel free to join the ever expanding I Am Cannabis Sativa podcast planet on Discord. We've got a Discord channel, and that Discord channel can be found at https://discord.gg/65tg2nr. Again, that is https://discord.gg/65tg2nr. Feel free to check out Sequoia Organics for a great source of CBD and hemp based products. You can check them out by the link https://bit.ly/33fkrv9, and you can enter the following coupon codes for extra discounts, such as dogtreat20, tincture20, 40% sign off ISO, 15% sign off CBD, and that applies to the entire store. And as always, everyone, stay medicated, my friends. Peace out and ciao.